Well, privileged to be back amongst you again and be able to share with you God's word as we look at it together, as we see in community how God speaks to us and how we don't need to be ashamed of that, but know that it is his good word. And I hope that's what we'll see this morning as we read together. I look forward to chatting with you afterwards if you disagree with anything or want to talk about what I've said, and that way we shape each other as a community to keep loving God's word and seeking to know him better. And we're praying that that's what teenagers in Spain are doing too. That's who we share with. If you haven't come up to speed on that yet, if you're meeting me for the first time now, that's what we usually do. We try and encourage them to read the Bible with others in their schools. So would you pray with me now as we come to look at God's word? Father, we ask you that you would help us together to faithfully read your word and so respond to it, seeing that Jesus is King, and live that out in our lives. In his name, amen. Well, I'd love you to imagine that you're 8 years old again. You're loving school, your best friends are fighting over who is, like, really your best friend, and you can't wait to get home to finish your latest Lego construction and show your dad that you're actually better at making Lego than he is. Might be reflecting some. Anyway, your mum and dad, then they pull you aside and they turn your world upside down. They're going to take you to your grandparents' country and you're going to live there for the next 6 months. You'll go to school there, eat the food there, speak with people there, but it will all be new. It will feel foreign, like you're out of your skin. And how do you know who you really are when everything around you changes? Imagine the doubts that are coming into your mind. Can you trust what you've been told? I mean, that's basically what we've done to our kids. Our oldest was 4 when we were last in Australia, and our second only 1. And they barely remember it. And the youngest 2 had never been here before. We've been in Spain for 6.5 years now, working with Christian teenagers from various churches. And as hard as the changes and doubts are for our boys, it can be even tougher for these teenagers. Most of them, they come from Christian families, from churches where they've been raised to know God's good word. They've been taught various truths, even memory verses. But they arrive at high school and they're the only Christian in their whole school. And their friends and their teachers, they'll mock them for what they believe, that they believe in God, that they believe in something like the Bible. And so these teenagers, as everything around them changes, they start to question who they are, what they've been told to believe. They start to doubt the goodness of God's word, doubting their faith in God. And from what I've been able to follow at a distance, the situation in Australia isn't too different. Teenagers are struggling to keep their faith. How will they keep the faith in a hostile context? But then that question extends to us too, right? How will we keep our faith? Paul's words in to Timothy, chapter 1, they help us. I'll sum up what I think he's saying in one sentence for you. We keep the faith because Jesus is King. Keep the faith, he says to Timothy, because Jesus is King. I want to show you how I got to that from the text as we read it together, but we'll start with the story. So we pick up where we're going with this letter and what you're going to go on to keep seeing in the coming weeks. He starts in chapter 1. If you've closed your Bible, I'd love you to open up again to page 1055, 2 Timothy, chapter 1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. So this is Paul, the guy you meet as Saul at the start of the book of Acts, decades earlier than this, when he was persecuting Christians. And yet, in chapter 9 of Acts, the risen Lord Jesus, Christ Jesus, which just means King Jesus, he confronted him. And he commanded him to then go throughout the world telling other people that Jesus is King of everything. So Paul then became his apostle. That is, he's sent one, sent throughout the world. And then by the time we read this letter, Paul had done it. As in, he'd spent decades sharing Jesus everywhere. But now he was in chains in Rome. You see that in verse 16. And what you'll go on to see in later weeks as you get to chapter 4 is that he sounds pretty sure that he's about to be killed for what he was preaching. And yet somehow he's content. He's fought the fight. He's kept the faith. And so then what we're reading here are his parting words to, in verse 2, Timothy, my dearly loved son. So this was the young guy who he had mentored and loved, who he had traveled with and written letters with to other churches, which you see at the start of other letters in the New Testament. It's from Timothy as well. And in verse 3, he then says he's constantly thanking God for Timothy. He's crying with Timothy in their separation. But he's so joyful because he knows that Timothy trusts Jesus. Timothy's mother and even grandmother had passed down their faith to him. So if you're like me and you can't remember a time when you didn't trust Jesus because your parents taught you it from such a young age, know that we stand with Timothy. Like Paul, we can constantly give thanks for that miracle, that privilege of knowing him from so early on. But that doesn't mean there aren't challenges. And Timothy got the biggest of all. Timothy, Paul said to him in 1 Timothy, in the first letter that we have, that the council of elders had laid their hands on Timothy. Basically, they commissioned him to do the same thing that Paul was doing, to preach the good news of Jesus everywhere. And now in verse 6, Paul reminds Timothy that he'd done that too to him. He commissioned him to do the same thing. But even, he says in verse 6, that Timothy had even received a gift for it that he needs to exercise. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that gift is. He doesn't seem to say it. Maybe it is a special ability to preach that message, to fulfill that task. Or maybe it's even just the privilege of the task of preaching. Like, oh, such a gift to be able to preach like it is for me to you. Or maybe it's both. Or as they say in Spanish, ¿por qué no los dos? But it's not exactly an easy calling. Can you imagine being Timothy? You'd grown up Christian, you'd seen crazy Paul sharing Jesus everywhere, and you'd watched from afar as he got arrested for it. He's about to be killed for it. And then he says to you, right, Timothy, it's your turn. Keep the faith. He tells Timothy to do this in two ways. In this first chapter, I think he's to keep his own faith, that is to keep trusting the goodness of the message, and he's to keep the faith by passing it on, to faithfully share it with others. That's what Paul was doing. Talk about big shoes to fill, right? Imagine the doubts. It's almost like telling a teenager who's the only Christian in their school in a hostile context to start reading the Bible with others in their school where they're not going to get any help from. That's what word. How's Timothy going to keep the faith? Because Jesus is King. Let's see how Paul helps Timothy remember Jesus as he charges him to keep the faith. The first keep the faith you see in verse 8 as Paul calls Timothy to keep trusting the message. Look at verse 8 with me. He says, so don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in suffering for the gospel, the message, the announcement that Jesus is King. Do you feel how impossible a task that is? That the teenagers of this church probably do. Like the teens in Spain, they might feel marginalized at the moment in their schools. The things like the marriage debate has left its mark in the public discourse, and so their friends are now saying to them, why do you Christians keep saying no to everybody? How can that be good? That's not love, that's hate. And they get shamed for being Christians. And then they see that their Christian leaders and their churches get shamed and mocked in the public discourse too. They said they're weak, they're losing, they're shrinking. For Timothy would have known that pressure even more. If he were to take up this task where his mentor is about to be killed for sharing that message, he would need to be thoroughly convinced that God's word was good, that it was worth suffering for, that it was even his good word for the world, that everyone everywhere needed to hear that word too, and so to not be ashamed. How would he keep trusting that God's word is good? Because Jesus is king. Did you see what I left off from the end of verse 8? He says, instead, share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. Not his own power. Paul's not telling Timothy to just work harder, to get over his weakness and just do it. He's acknowledging that this task of trusting the goodness of God's word, it requires a miracle. The work of God in you. But he says you can be confident in that. You can get on with trusting the message because Jesus is king. And he does that. He gives the reason why you can keep trusting it with the story of God. Which kind of reminds me of a famous rapper that has taught many youth group kids. Now, you know the rapper that I'm talking about, quite a famous rapper. It's not a Fantail rapper, not a Mars bar rapper, but a Minty rapper. See, with a Minty rapper, this is like a famous game from youth groups. Maybe you've even played it, or at least, you know, done it at home secretly for you kids at heart. But I'm sure youth group kids know this rapper even today. But it's a rapper where what you have to do is you have to slowly tear it to make it as long a strand as possible. But you'd always see that kid who kind of picks up the Minty wrapper and tears it straight away and it just rips in half and he goes, oh, stupid game. Or it's like, oh, these rappers are so flimsy. And you go, but that's not how you play the game. What you set a plan as to how you're going to do it, and then you go slowly, carefully unraveling it such that over time it forms almost an artwork, really. How much more when we look at the story of God? It didn't happen instantly, but you see with patience how God in his wisdom unfolded it, but such that you can't now ignore it for anything other than what it is now. And that's what Paul does, as in he takes us back to God's story, not our story, his story, and shows why we can be confident that he will work that same thing in us. Look at how he does that, as how he explains God's power revealed over time. Verse 9, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Well, that's incredible, isn't it? Did you see that? Before time began, God planned that Jesus would be the Christ, the King. And that by his grace, he would save us from our rejection of God and call us to live with Jesus as our King. You think that's almost unbelievable until you see that he did it thousands of years later, that it's actually been revealed in history. Look at verse 10. This has now been made evident through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wow, God the Son became a human in history, Jesus. And he died on a cross, taking the punishment that we deserved. But then God raised him to life again, and that destroyed death and its cause. And so he was crowned King of the universe. And then King Jesus, he now offers you eternal life, offers it to us all. That's what's been revealed. He reveals this through, did you see, the gospel. That is the big announcement, that Jesus is King. That's God's story. It's wonderfully good news, made possible by his power. We can see it, we can test that power because we've seen it in history revealed in Jesus. So he calls us not to trust in our own power to keep trusting the message. He calls us to look to Jesus and what he's done. And so to trust his power to help us to keep trusting the goodness of his word. Because Jesus is King, not us. The saddest thing for me in the last 4 years was watching Hugo walk away from King Jesus. He'd just become a Christian when we first arrived in Spain, and I shared his story 4 years ago right here about how he was even reading the Bible with his family. When I got back, I started meeting up with him and another student for a year to read the Bible and share life. And then the year following, he started to slowly drop back from groups, from church. We knew that he had a room spare, and so when a Christian guy came over from Australia, we linked him up to stay with him, and it was then that his private life started to become a bit more on display, and that he'd become ashamed of God's word. So he started to slowly then shut off the other Christian voices in his life, because what he'd decided was that his way was a better alternative. How do we keep the faith? By trusting the goodness of the message. Because Jesus is revealed as the King. The second keep the faith is in verse 13 and 14 as Paul calls Timothy to pass on the message. Look at it with me. Hold on to the pattern, verse 13, of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Paul has commissioned Timothy to keep the message the same. Don't change it. Yikes, Paul, that's a hard ask, isn't it? I mean, today when everyone's crying around us, the Bible is an outdated set of rules. Get with the times. There's a lot of pressure to change it, to assume it's not good. And it even comes within our churches. Well, it has at least for us in Spain, where we've battled with some who have called us unfaithful to God's word because we want to respect all of it as God's good word, that it's all relevant. They've said that the Old Testament gives a primitive idea of God that needs to be changed to fit with Jesus. They don't see that big story. And they'd say that Paul had some wacky ideas in his earlier letters that he wrote earlier. And conveniently, that has the more difficult passages that they can then rule out. But that doesn't seem to be what Paul's saying here in his final letter. He's calling Timothy to remember that this is all good. The Old Testament writings that he learned as a boy, that they're still good. That all of Paul's writings, as he looks back on it now, it's still good. He's got to keep teaching it, to guard it and not change it. Because that's how he'll show faith and love in his King Jesus. I mean, but how? I mean, when we tell our people in Spain that we encourage teenagers to read the Bible with their friends, they ask, how can you expect them to do that? As in, it sounds impossible to them, as if it's both too hard for the teenagers themselves to do, and that, well, none of them, their friends would respond to such an old, outdated, I don't know. How much more impossible would it have been for Timothy? His teacher was about to be executed by the Roman state. Barely anyone believed the message around them. He would have been tempted to change it, make it more acceptable. How would he hope to keep faithfully passing on the message in such a hostile context? Because Jesus is King. Look again at verse 14. Guard the good deposit through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Timothy can be confident in sharing God's good word with others because God, the Holy Spirit, works through him. It's the same reason Paul gave as to why Timothy could be confident to exercise his gift and fulfill his commissioning. If you look at verse 7, he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment." When we trust in our own power to hand on the message, we end up shrinking back in fear. And if you'll let me put it bluntly, that's what I saw from a distance with some of the advertising for the No campaign regarding same-sex marriage. It felt like a campaign based on fear of the slippery slope that changing the law might create, rather than giving the yes of the gospel, of why this is good news for our world. Instead of fear, God's Spirit produces power. Not a power to dominate, but a power to join in suffering. To be confident in the goodness of God's word, even in the face of opposition. And to trust that the Holy Spirit will keep convicting other people's hearts as we seek to faithfully proclaim it. But the Holy Spirit also produces love, did you see? Self-sacrificial, generous action that seeks the good of others. And the Spirit produces sound judgment, helping us to be patient in the face of a changing antagonistic world that pressures us to give up on God. Paul can say, keep passing on God's good word because King Jesus has given us his Spirit who helps us in that task. And he can confidently say that because that's what he's lived out. You see it in verses 12 and 13. That is why I suffer these things, Paul says. But I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day. His trust is in his King Jesus to bring it about. How could Timothy hope to keep the faith? Because Jesus is King. How could teenagers in Spain hope to keep trusting the goodness of God's word and share his word with others? Because Jesus is King and his Spirit lives in them. How will we keep our faith, keep trusting the message and passing it on to our friends and to future generations in our churches? By remembering that Jesus is King. Now, maybe that's not going to look like standing up the front or the same charge that Timothy had. But that's not the only way to be unashamed of the gospel or the opposite, ashamed. In fact, we've got a couple of examples at the end of the passage in verse 15. There's these two guys, which I'm just going to say it as a Spanish person would say it because all these are like from an ancient language, so no one really knows how to pronounce it. So you just go confidently. And if you say it with a Spanish, then it just sounds a bit cooler. So that's what I do. So we've got Figelus and Hermogenes. Nice, right? Anyway, so they became ashamed of Paul and his teaching. They deserted him in Asia at another time. We're saying, Timothy, don't do that. For you guys, don't do that either. For me, don't. As in, we don't want to be ashamed of those who are preaching the good news. We want to stand with each other and work at seeking to see this message go out faithfully. But then did you see the counterexample, which was Onesiphorus? And this guy, you see what he said in verse 16? He refreshed Paul. He went out and sought him. He found him. He sought to serve him so that the message could keep going out. He wasn't ashamed of Paul being in prison. He supported him. But then you see in verse 18 as well, he ministered to him at Ephesus. At another time, he served and encouraged. Maybe your work looks a bit more like that. It's getting alongside others and seeking to enable them to share Jesus with others too. There's many different stories that we hear around us too. I want to end with one, which is of a Spanish teenager called Sarai. You might have heard that story if we told it last time or in the small group, and we might tell it again on Wednesday, but I'll happily tell it again because I hope it'll ignite your imagination as to what it would look like in your workplace or in your family to not be ashamed of the message of Jesus is King, to be willing to even join in suffering, continuing to trust the goodness of that message, and to think about how you're faithfully going to pass it on to others. Let me tell you about Sarai. I met her on the national camp that we have for teenagers. She was from Madrid and she'd just become a Christian. Parents not Christian, finding it difficult in her school where she didn't know another Christian. She was trying to follow Jesus but finding it difficult. But she met some other Christians on the national camp that were in the same situation as her. We read God's word together and she was encouraged to keep trusting that that message is good. So she went back to her school thinking maybe I could start reading the Bible with someone else. But found it really hard. Just kept hitting wall after wall. The teachers wouldn't even let her use a space at the school to do that. And so it got to the stage where she went, you know what, I'm just going to try and do something radical. I feel like there's no further way to do it here. So I'm going to ask my parents if they'll let me change schools and see if that helps. And that somehow they did. But she was then going, I need to start from day one making sure I'm not ashamed of this message. I'm going to say I'm a Christian and see what happens. And the amazing thing was that God provided her with another couple of Christians there who said, yep, I'm a Christian too. So she goes, well, obviously we're going to start reading the Bible together because that's what we do. And they go, oh, okay. But she started sharing the message with others and being faithful about passing it on. And the incredible thing, well, she came back on the camp the next year just beaming. And she said of how that group had grown to 20 students reading the Bible weekly together, such that they needed to split into two groups. And half of those were not Christians, not from a Christian background. God had done the impossible. And she's just going into her final year of school now, still going strong, trying to encourage other students in other schools to share Jesus there too. What will it look like for you to be unashamed of that message? Keep the faith, because Jesus is King. Let's pray. Father, thank you that before time began, you saved us and called us to live with Jesus as our King, not because of what we've done, but solely because of Jesus. Thank you for revealing that to us in his death and resurrection, that Jesus is the King of the universe and that anyone who comes to him can have eternal life. This is great news. And we know that your word is great news, so please help us to not be ashamed of your word, but by your power to even join in suffering, that we might pass on that great news to others. Please help us to clearly and confidently know that Jesus is King. In his name, amen.